You love the Lord, say amen. Had something totally else on my mind. The Lord just spoke to me and said, go to Luke chapter 23, and that's what we're going to do. Y'all mind if I mind the Lord this morning? Let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning in reverence to that and what He wants this morning. If you've ever prayed in your life, you need to pray right now. God's fixing to do something. Oh, Lord. Luke chapter 23, breaking in at the 33rd verse. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, and one and another on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let us pray. Father, I ask You right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm following Your lead this morning. And I ask God through the few moments that we'll stand that You'll speak through these stammering lips, God, that these that are here may hear Your Word. And Lord, if there's anybody here that's lost without You, that today will be the day that they'll walk this aisle and give their hearts to You before it's eternally too late. God, we love You this morning, and we thank You for what You're about to do. We'll give You all the praise, glory, and honor for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. And they parted His raiments and cast lots. Here we see in the Scriptures in Luke chapter 23, as Luke is writing, and he's given us a description of the cross of Calvary and the price that has or is being paid at this very moment so that you and I could be here at Vickers Chapel today. This moment was taking place for this moment of time. You may say, well, that Bible was wrote a long time ago, but I'm telling you, this moment took place for this moment of time. I'm glad that God knows what you and I need. And He said, and when they came to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. The malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. And here we see our Savior that has walked this earth for 33 and a half years. And He has healed the blind and healed the sick and raised the dead and done great many, many miracles and called 12 and taught them and loved them, and one has turned against Him. And He's done everything He can do to teach them who He is and what the purpose is for His coming. And here He's had the Last Suppers with His disciples. He's told them, He's encouraged them that He's going away. And He's told them, I've got to be crucified. I've got to pay the price so that men and women, boys and girls, can have a way to heaven one day after a while. I've got to be the bridge between God and man so that they can get back to God. I've got to go to Golgotha and give my life that men and women can be born again. And you know, the disciples was confused, and they didn't really think it was going to be that bad until that night when they went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that Jesus went there and He told His disciples, I want you to stay here and pray. Tarry for a little while here and pray while I go yonder there to pray. But here these men have walked with the Lord and they've seen all His great miracles, and He's asked them something to do there just for a little while. And there they are, and they're sitting there, and Jesus goes a little ways off from them in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And the disciples are there, and they're so tired. They're weary from all the information they have received from Christ and what's about to take place, and they're tired in their body. And the Bible says that they even go to sleep. And Jesus goes over to pray. And He's going to pray about this moment. He's praying about today here at Vickers Chapel is what He's went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Can I hear from you this morning? He's went there to pray. And the Bible says that he got down and he began to pray unto the Father. And his sweat became as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Why? Because he knew the sun was going to shine at Vickers today. And I tell you what, he began to pray. And he got to thinking about every one of you that's here this morning. And he said, I've got to go. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, let this cup pass from me if it's your will. And let me tell you what, he was a man, but he was God in the flesh. And he was paying the ultimate price in the flesh as a man. I believe he felt every pain. I believe he felt everything that took place. He felt it in his body. And the Bible says that he knelt down there and he began to pray, and he was praying about what he was going to have to go through. And the Bible says that the sin of the whole world was put up on him. Every lie that I've ever told, every deceitful moment that I've had, every good for nothing thing I've ever done, he took it right there and he began to pray. Everything that you've ever done, every lie that you've ever told, anything that you've ever stolen, anything that you've ever done, he was praying so hard that the sweat was as great drops of blood. He had took it upon him that very day. Now you think about sin. If you was to put sin in a cup, you'd go out here and you know we got these, all of us has got sewers and there's boxes in the ground where the sewage goes in there and it dissolves and goes other places. But I'll tell you what, the sin that Christ had to take on was worse than any sewer you got in your yard. And then you might as well took a cup and dipped it in the sewer. The worst you've ever been is what Christ took to the cross of Calvary. Every deceitful thing that you've ever done, Christ took it upon him that day at the cross of Calvary. When we smote ourselves on the chest and we put on our nice suits and our nice dress, and we feel like we've done nothing. We have done nothing but cause our Savior to die on a rugged cross and give his life so you and I could sit here in the nice warm church in the nice padded pews. We ought to be ashamed of what we've done to our Savior. But I'm glad for Jesus, amen, that was willing to take the bitter cup and he drank every single drop of it. There wasn't one drop left. He drank everything that you ever done, took it into his body that day. He didn't go to the cross of the Calvary with a suit on like I've got on today. But the Bible says they stripped him down naked from who he was. He was stripped plumb down naked on the cross. And they beat him and they scorned him that day. And he talked about his innards even fell out of him. And he was just ripped out all over. You wouldn't even recognize the Savior. You'd have saw him that day. I'm talking about the cross of Calvary. And when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Just a week later, they were marching into the city hollering, Hosanna! And waving palm leaves and praising him. And a week later, they're hollering, Crucify him! That's the kind of people that we are. We'll love him one minute and want to crucify him the next. I saw a sign this week that a man was carrying. They was having a protest up in Washington, and he had a sign that said, if Jesus comes again, we ought to kill him again. I mean, it stabbed me in my heart to see a man carry a sign like that. I wouldn't even think of something like that, more or less, carry a sign. But I'll tell you one thing. He loved you so much that he allows those to carry signs like that. He gives them a free choice. Those that curse his name, he gives them a free choice to curse their name. Why? Because he went to the cross of Calvary and gave his life that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad to be a whosoever, amen, for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he looked past all of my deeds and saved my unwretched soul, amen. You may be this morning and say, I'm unworthy, I'm no good, God don't love me, surely he wouldn't love something like me. You're just the one that he went to the cross of Calvary and gave his life for. You're just the one. When those thieves were hanging there on the cross, the Bible says that one was mocking and the other looked at him. Said, Jesus, think about this. They're hanging here dying. These men are rightfully dying for the deeds that they have done. They're hanging on a cross on each side of an innocent man. I'm talking about the man in the middle that was innocent. The only thing he was guilty of, church, was love. Love for you and love for me. But yet they hung him on a cross. And here he hangs on a cross and those two thieves on each side and one mocking and one looks at him and says, Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And all the pain that is racking the body of the Savior, all of that pain that your sin and mine is causing the Savior, no doubt the Bible talks about the way that they nailed him. A crucifixion was the Romans' way of great torture. It wasn't, I mentioned it last week, it wasn't a smooth, sanded down cross, but I believe it was a rugged cross, a cross full of splinters and spines and wood sticking out. It wasn't something comfortable to lay on. Christ didn't go to the cross to be comfortable. He went to the cross to pay for your sin and mine. Can I hear from you this morning? I'll tell you what he talked about when they laid him down on the cross. They stretched him out on the cross. I don't believe that the Roman soldiers had to go up and hold him down and pull his arms over and all that, but I believe he laid that arm out for you and for me. He rolled down this line, and that Roman soldier knelt down to nail that nail through his hand. I don't believe they had to pull on it to get his hand. I believe he looked him right in the eye and handed his hand to him. The Bible don't talk about exactly at that moment, but he didn't murmur a word. He reached that hand out. And they drove the nail through his hand. You've heard that all your life about the nail being drove through your hand. Let me tell you how it is. Did you know in your finger, your one finger, there's over 10,000 nerve endings in one finger? Can you imagine how many nerve endings are in the palm of your hand? They've been skeptics that argued whether it was in the palm of his hand or here in the wrist of his hand. It doesn't matter which way it was. He was nailed to the cross. All them nerve endings run down through here. I promise you, you cut your finger off right now, it'll be the worst pain you've ever felt in your life. Why? Because you cut through all of those nerve endings. So we're talking about one hand here. They take an old spike. You ever been down on a railroad track and see the spikes that are laying beside the track? Imagine one like that. And they take that spike, old rusty spike, and they drive it right down through the hand, right down through all the nerve endings and all the vessels. And it busts his vessels and nerve endings and bone and everything. You know why that happened? Because Brother Aaron, he had you on his mind. When they drove that through his hand, he had your salvation on his mind. And he said, go ahead and drive it. Brother Aaron needs a way. And when he got to thinking about that and all that pain over there, and then he reached that other hand out because he thought about you sitting back there. Brother Gail, he probably thought about you. And he reached that other hand out and they drove the other nail through that. And he stretched out his feet. Bible talks about they nailed his feet to the cross. Could you just imagine as the nails went through the feet and busted the bones in the feet and the tendons in the feet? What kind of pain that would be for our Savior. That'd be bad enough to be laid down on a cross and nailed to it like that. It didn't stop there. The Romans got on each side of that cross and they dug a big hole in the ground. And they stood that cross up. And when they stood that cross up and it dropped down in the hole of that ground, the Bible says that every joint in his body came loose. And there he hung. And when the body comes loose like that, all your innards come up and it begins to smother the victim at that moment. And they can't breathe. And they pull their legs back just enough so that they have just enough that they can push up just a little bit to get a little bit of air. And can you imagine hanging there? And he's hanging away. And knees locked, trying to breathe. Why? Because he thinks about you. I've got to do this so they'll have a way to be saved and not go to hell. I've got to make a way for them. And he hangs there for that 6 hours on the cross. And every now and again, he'll limp down like this. And the air will get cut off and he'll push back up and get more air. And the whole time he's hanging there before the crowd in utter shame. Tore like a dog would tear something apart. He's tore down before people and naked before everybody, but he's hanging before the world with your sin and mine on him. Everything, every mistake I ever made, it's hanging on the cross. Can you just imagine how we've let the Lord down in our lives? And he loved us so much that he gave his life. He hung on that cross and gave his life. We won't serve him. We won't love him. We'll listen to the devil. And we'll heed to what the devil tells us, and we won't heed to God. We won't read his word. We won't tell people about him. But he's still going to hang there, and he's going to stand there, and he's going to give it. He's like, I've got to do it. I know there's going to be those that won't believe and those that won't confess me. But I'm going to do it anyhow, because there's going to be a few that will love me. There's going to be a few that's going to trust me. I'm going to do it for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you just imagine? He's got you on his mind. At this time, the pain is so bad. The crown of thorns are drove down in his skull, and it is stuck inside the skin, and the blood is running down. And he's still thinking about Vickers Chapel here on Sunday morning. Those that are here that's lost without God. I've got to stay. I've got to pay the price for them. And all hail the party. They're thinking, we've got it now. We've got him nailed to the cross. He's fixing to die, and we're fixing to win. But boy, was they going to get a rude awakening. But he didn't stop. How many have been in so much pain that you'd just rather die? You felt like you just dying would have been easier. I was like that a few weeks ago. I thought dying would have been easier. But I've never felt pain like my Savior's went through. Why? Because he had you on his mind. And he had me on his mind. All that pain and those nerve endings and are causing all those signals in the brain to go off, and his body is shaking all over, and he's paying the price for you and I. And it ain't good enough. The Roman soldiers go up to him, and they think it ain't bad enough, so they take a spear and they pierce him in the side, and that big spearhead runs right up through his rib cage, right up through his lung. And the Bible says, out comes blood and water. Friend, he didn't pay just with a little drop of blood. He paid with all of his blood. Can you imagine what a bloody mess it was on Calvary's Hill that day? You talk about a man. It takes a real man to go to the cross of Calvary. We praise ball players, and we praise weightlifters, and we praise all these people, that all these great things they've done. They ain't done nothing what my Savior's done. That's a real man right there. The greatest man that ever stood, and the greatest man that'll ever be is Jesus Christ. He paid the price so you and I could be here this morning. When you got up this morning, and you breathed that breath of life, and your eyes opened up, it was the grace of God. When you got up and put your clothes on and washed your face and combed your hair and had sense to know to do that, it was because of God. It was only because of Him that we move, we live, and have our being. It's time that we quit playing church. It's time we quit playing with God. It's time we get the business with God. If you're going to do something in this church, it's time to get down to business with God and do something. Quit hoping you're praying about it, you're thinking about it. I'm going to see what God wants us to do something right now for Him, because He's done it all for us. Well, I'm waiting on God. He's waiting on you. This morning He loves you. The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. I want to tell you this morning, this altar is open. It's been open ever since you come in this morning. You can come anytime you want to come. This altar is open. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm telling you this morning, God loves you if you'll come to Him. Praise the Lord. Let's get down here and pray, brother. Come here, Brother Aaron, and pray with this man. Pray with him. That's what it's going to take you this morning. We're going to have to come to the altar and get right with God. That's what it's going to take this morning. They're shouting in heaven this morning for one that would come and get right. Brother Greg, come and pray with this man. I'll tell you what, if you're here this morning, you're lost without God. I'd come up here this morning. I'd get right with God. If I was wayward on Lord and I didn't know where I stood with God, I'd come to this altar and get right with God. Today is a day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. Y'all not harden your heart. Let's all stand this morning.